Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
If there's any time to go on a run here where you're playing like a 1.3 point per game pace, it's right now because the opportunity here is different for the Sabres. And I actually think this stretch is going to be the one that ultimately decides what this team does at the deadline too, right? They go on a decent stretch here over these next 11 games. They could absolutely be situated to the point where like, hey, yeah, we're in this. And maybe we're only 30 or 40% in this, but we're still in it. So we have to change our mindset for the February 25 trade deadline. Or it could go the other way. And usually it has gone the other way. But they drop the majority of these winnable games, they're just going to know by, right, let's say, early February that they are selling pieces at the deadline.
That's TSN's Travis Yost from Mike Shope of the Bulldog on Friday at 4 o'clock. If you missed that, you can check in our on-demand section at WGR550.com. Or if you missed it within a 24-hour period, of course, you can go back in our rewind section at the radio.com app and check it out there. If you're hearing the voice that you are currently hearing right now, there is no instigators today or tomorrow. So that means I'm on the air. Brayton Wilson here, going to be filling in for the instigators over the next 2 days from 10 to noon each day. Andrew and Craig will be back on the air on Wednesday. They're getting the next couple of days off for the Martin Luther King holiday. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us this morning here on WGR. Coming up on the show today, we're going to have Steve Cornianos joining us at 11:30, and I know some Sabres fans are probably going to say, why are you talking NHL draft right now? Sabres are currently 51 points through 49 games, and they still have 33 games left to go. Why are you talking NHL draft? Because I can and because I want to. And not only that, but when you're looking at the playoff picture, the Sabres currently are outside looking in on the playoffs, and why not get the chance to talk about the NHL draft, get a super early look at it, and go from there. And obviously, you know, NFL stuff we'll talk about today. We'll continue to break down some Sabre stuff. Again, the Sabres are heading into their bye week, the five-day bye week, which started yesterday, and that will continue on right up until the All-Star break, which starts on, I believe, Thursday or Friday, and then it's a 3-day break for the All-Star break, and then the Sabres get back to action on Monday for practice, and then they're back in game action next Tuesday night when the Sabres are at home to host the Ottawa Senators at KeyBank Center. So that's when we'll next see the Sabres back in game action on the ice. But in the meantime, we're open up on the phone lines, and we are wanting to talk some football, some hockey, anything you want to talk about. You're more than welcome to join us here this morning, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. That's the toll-free number if you want to call us that way. So again, instigators are off for the next 2 days, 10 to noon. I'll be filling in with you today and tomorrow. And also, on the top of that, One Bills Live is also off for the next 2 days, getting a little bit of a break as John Murphy and Steve Tasker, again, getting ready for the Super Bowl. We know who's going to be playing in the Super Bowl coming up in a little under 2 weeks. So they're off from 12 to 3 both today and tomorrow. That means Joe DiBiase will be coming in at noon and filling in for 3 hours at that point. Again, that'll be today and tomorrow. But again, One Bills Live, the instigators, their regular program will be back on Wednesday. I want to start off by talking about the Super Bowl matchup and kind of what played out. I watched most of both games yesterday and was very much in tune with what was going on. And, you know, it's not exactly the Super Bowl matchup that I had envisioned. It's not exactly the Super Bowl matchup I wanted. Obviously, I was kind of rooting for Kansas City just because, you know, it's Andy Reid. I like what Andy Reid has done. And he's a guy that I think deserves another chance to win a Super Bowl. He deserves that chance to get back to the Super Bowl. He's already back there, but now it's time for him to win. It's time for him to get out there to put everything that he's done over the past several years and throughout his NFL career to the test against the NFL's number one ranked defense in San Francisco, which we'll get to San Francisco in a moment. But, man, that the past two games, they've trailed early on, and they come back, and they storm back to win both of those football games. I mean, obviously, the week before, Kansas City faced a 24-0 deficit to Houston and then stormed back to score 51 points on the Texans to win 51-31. And then, obviously, yesterday, they trailed Tennessee into the second quarter, came back, and the Patrick Mahomes touchdown run, which was pretty brilliant in itself right before halftime, put them ahead, and then from there, they never looked back. They continued to hold on to the lead. They continued to play really well offensively and take a Tennessee defense that held Lamar Jackson under control and contained him pretty well the week before in Baltimore. And Kansas City and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they were just able to effectively move the ball and keep the offense going, and they get the win. They get a big win. They win that game, by the way, 35-24. Mahomes with 294 yards passing and four touchdowns. And Kansas City's going to their first Super Bowl in 50 years, which is pretty impressive as it is. It's hard to believe that Kansas City hasn't been to the Super Bowl since Super Bowl IV. And that year, I think they beat the Vikings in the Super Bowl. Their one and only Super Bowl victory. So Kansas City's going back, and number one offense again against the number one defense for San Francisco. And what's amazing about this game, what's amazing about the 49ers-Packers game, is the defense obviously took care of Aaron Rodgers, and they seemed like they were just having fun out there. They're coming off the field almost after every drive, hugging their defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, and just they just looked in firm control from start to finish. And the offense really didn't even have to do much. Jimmy Garoppolo, well, he only threw the ball eight times yesterday. Eight. Completed six passes. The rest of the time, they were handing the ball off. And just an absolutely incredible performance by that offense, and especially in the run game, with Raheem Mostert with just running all over Green Bay. He runs for, 220 yards, 29 carries, four touchdowns. And obviously, Deebo Samuel had a couple of nice runs on some end-around plays. Tevin Coleman, unfortunately, got hurt in that game. And his status for the Super Bowl, from what I last read, was hopeful that he would play. And then Matt Breida didn't even get any action. He only got one carry. But the rest of the game was all Raheem Mostert. Mostert. And just 220 yards on the ground against a Green Bay defense. Yeah, and I understand Green Bay's beat up. They've been banged up most of the year. But, I mean, what a performance. What a performance from Mostert. Just breaking free, breaking tackles, and it didn't seem like Green Bay had any answers for him. And that's going to pose a threat to Kansas City next week. Although Kansas City did a nice job of stopping Derrick Henry, who's arguably the best running back in the NFL as of right now. Derrick Henry the week before against Baltimore, no one could stop him. The Ravens couldn't stop him. All the weeks leading up to, the Patriots especially couldn't stop him. All the weeks leading up to the playoffs, no one could stop him. And Henry was held to 69 yards by the Kansas City defense, who throughout the entire year has not been good in the run defense. They've actually been one of the worst run defenses in the NFL in the regular season. And yesterday they held Derrick Henry to 69 yards of running, which is very, very impressive. So the 49ers and Chiefs are going to be going to the Super Bowl, going to Miami. That'll be two weeks from yesterday. So in 13 days, it'll be Super Bowl 54 featuring the 49ers and the Chiefs. And not exactly the matchup, I was hoping for or wanting to see. I wanted to see the Packers and the Chiefs just because, A, it's a rematch of Super Bowl I. You've got Patrick Mahomes, who was MVP last year, was in contention for MVP this year, but let's be honest, Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP this year. And then you'd have Aaron Rodgers, who's been a super good quarterback for most of his career, a big-armed guy just like Mahomes. And these guys will both be tempted to sling the ball, will throw the ball everywhere. That would have been a much, much more fun matchup to watch than the 49ers Chiefs. And it's not that the 49ers Chiefs is not going to be a bad matchup. I just want to see offense. I want to see two guys slinging the ball up and down the field and just dynamic offensive units going at it. Not to say that, again, San Francisco is not a dynamic offensive unit. Kyle Shanahan is their head coach, and he had a lot of success with Atlanta before getting hired in San Francisco. But again, watching the game yesterday, the 49ers didn't have to throw the ball. Again, only eight times Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball. Completed six passes for 77 yards. The rest of the time, it was all Raheem Mostert. I can't get that, Derek.
I don't know either.
It's super hard to get used to it. Mostert. Mostert.
How hard do we have to hit the T in Mostert? It's the question.
Right.
Of the day.
I don't think it's a silent T. It's a very soft T, though. I think I've got that right. Mostert. Raheem Mostert. But just Kyle Shanahan was just calling it up, just running the ball most of the time. Jimmy Garoppolo was just handing the ball off, and Mostert just ran all over the Packers defense. And the Packers defense is depleted. They had some key guys out of the lineup. They had some key guys that were hurt, and it just did not seem close from the start. It really didn't. I mean, the 49ers get a touchdown drive. I mean, they started the game with the ball. They punted after three and out. Then they forced the Packers to punt. And then on their next three, four, five, six straight drives, they scored. It was just pure dominance from the second drive on for San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers had no answers to solve the 49ers defense. And the 49ers defense is really good. And I mean, I kind of gone through this year, and I saw the stats, and it's just like, okay, the 49ers defense was, you know, they're up there with the stats, and I didn't really necessarily watch a ton of 49ers football, I'll be completely honest, but watching them yesterday was like, oh man, this unit's pretty scary. They can shut you down when they need to. They can get to the quarterback. I mean, Nick Bosa was just a monster in the game last week against the Vikings, and he was there of being effective this week. It's going to be a fun matchup to see the best offense in the NFL go up against the best defense in the NFL. It's going to be a slugfest between those two. Who's going to come out on top? I don't know. I really like what the Chiefs bring to the table with their offense, especially. I think their defense has been okay, especially. But it impressed me that they were able to stop Derrick Henry. That's the one thing, because their run defense, again, has not been great. So they are able to contain Derrick Henry. And now it's going to be, can you stop Raheem Mostert?
Now, here's my thing. Thank goodness the Chiefs figured out how to take care of that, because the last thing I wanted was 49ers-Titans, because that would have just been the drag-it-through-the-dirt slugfest kind of thing, like your old-fashioned boring football.
Right.
Instead, we get a team that is so dynamic offensively that maybe they could actually cancel out just how good the 49ers defense is and turn this into just your average good football game. Right now, I've got an odd comparison here for you, Brayton.
All right, lay it on me.
So Patrick Mahomes, obviously he of quarterbacking greatness at this point. Is it a hot take to say that he's the Connor McDavid of passers? He is that good of a quarterback right now. He's the best in the league, and you saw the downfall of Brady this year. Lamar Jackson got one and done'd in the playoffs, and Pat Mahomes is still just showing that he can continue to make these wow throws every week and almost break the system.
I'll say this. I mean, I think that's a decent comparison. The question is, though, is like with Mahomes, is he truly like on a whole nother level? Because, I mean, obviously, you know me. I'm more of the hockey guy. Like Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby are on their own tier. It is just them two in their own tier. And then the next closest guy is maybe like a Nathan MacKinnon. And Nathan MacKinnon is really good, but is he anywhere close to where McDavid, Crosby are? I don't think so.
And now it's time to start thinking about those tiers with Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady is no longer what he used to be.
No.
Aaron Rodgers is a shell of his former self at this point. And the 49ers very rudely proved that yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually, Rodgers was fine. His team wasn't.
But he did have that one really bad throw on the pick.
Yeah.
He threw it way behind. I think Devontae Adams
but
was the target.
When you're trailing the entire game off
right,
by double
you throw
digits,
the ball.
You kind of got to get desperate.
Yeah.
But Rodgers throughout the season has not been the same guy. And then you look at Drew Brees. How many years is he going to have left? And even he kind of slowed down a little bit this year.
Yeah, he didn't look great in the wild card game against the Vikings.
And now it's time to see the new regime and the newest takeover. And who is head and shoulders on his own level? It's Patrick Mahomes.
He's
the Connor McDavid. He's football Jesus.
Oh, okay. Football genius might be a little...
Football Jesus. Why? Because,
football Jesus, right.
Why? Because Connor McDavid is the moose god himself, okay? So... There it is. The Moose God and Football Jesus. Connor McDavid and Patrick Mahomes. The only difference is that the Chiefs are a better organization, therefore playing for a championship, whereas Connor McDavid is getting buried sometimes by Oilers incompetence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Oilers have just been a very bad organization, but we really can't say anything.
But there it is. Patrick Mahomes is Connor McDavid, but football.
I'll take that. I'm not sure if I'm ready to exactly put Mahomes there just yet. I think I'm close, but hey, go out in the Super Bowl and dominate the best defense in the NFL, and I think that at that point I'll say, okay, Patrick Mahomes might be exactly on his own tier.
I wouldn't even
above
need
anyone
dominate.
Else.
I would need just show that the 49ers are human.
Throw the ball like you did yesterday. Go out there and play like you did yesterday in the Super Bowl.
The problem
Go win
is
that
he does
Super
that
Bowl.
All the time.
I know.
He does it all the time. You don't need to ask him about that because he'll just do it. And that's why I think that's the thing. And that's also why Bills fans are always going to be hella salty about the fact that Patrick Mahomes is not a Buffalo Bill. But I want that to end because no, new head coach Sean McDermott without his own scouting staff was not going to take a quarterback. Let it go.
Yeah.
No, it's not a mistake as long as Josh Allen is even just good.
I'm not getting tied up in any of those. Oh, well, we could have had Patrick Mahomes. 2017, guess who was still drafting in 2017? Doug Whaley is still your GM at the 2017 draft. He got fired the next day, but him and Sean McDermott were still making the picks together. It probably was more of a McDermott thing, but still, in the end, the plan, I think, all along was, okay, we're going to go after a quarterback in 2018. The hype was all out there that the 2018 draft class was a very good draft class, and I think it still is. Baker Mayfield, yeah, didn't have a great season because the Browns are the Browns. The Jets under Adam Gase got off to a terrible start, and as the year went on, they looked a little better, and Sam Darnold, very much like the team. Slow start. Obviously, he had the mononucleosis, missed a couple of games, came back, and started playing a little better towards the end of the season. Who else is in that draft class? Lamar Jackson obviously is going to be the MVP this year. Josh Rosen, I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Rosen because the Dolphins
so far,
might...
bad.
Right. We don't know what's going on with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He might be back. He might not be back. I mean, they brought in Chan Gailey, so that's probably a good sign that they're going to get him back for next year. But Josh Rosen's kind of in limbo right now where it's like, okay, what's going on with my career here? What is going to happen with me? He might get traded again. He might go to another team next year. Who knows? But... and again, there's obviously Josh Allen, which this year we saw a lot of good progress from him. There's still some things that he needs to correct and work on, but the general consensus, I believe, is that he's going in a very good direction. I don't believe that in that 2017 draft class, there was any thought of taking a quarterback that year. That's why they traded down. That's why they traded out, and they took Tre'Davious White, who in itself is a very good pick. A very good pick, 27th overall, and is arguably a player that could have contended for AP, like for Defensive Player of the Year.
And you know what? Here's another layer to this. Everyone's going to say, oh, well, if you got Patrick Mahomes, even first off, I hate the he wouldn't have been as good here. That's not entirely true.
Yeah.
A great player is just a great player. Tre'Davious White is fantastic here, wouldn't you say? I would say so. Now, here's the other part. You weren't getting Patrick Mahomes. Guess what? The 49ers are clearly proving to you by throwing a mighty 8 passes like they're Navy that
yeah.
You don't need an elite quarterback to make the Super Bowl. You can have an elite team, which the Bills are building something where it looks like they're trying to have a great team.
Yeah.
If you can do it, you can have it both ways. You can have the elite quarterback or in a group where we saw the true peak of quarterbacking, it's now finally fading.
Right.
And now you have Pat Mahomes and literally everyone else, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You can do this with a great team. and the Titans made the AFC Championship with Ryan Tannehill as their starter.
Yeah, but they had Derrick Henry, who's one of the best, maybe the best running back in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Guess what? It does not matter if the Bills have Patrick Mahomes or not. As long as they are good enough as a team and continue to build something, and Josh Allen is good at the very least, then this trade does not matter.
Right.
Everyone can shut the bleep up and we can just move on and be happy as long as the Bills continue to build what they are building, which is, for all intents and purposes, a competent and possibly good team.
Right. We won't get into the
I'm kind of getting worked up over it because of the fact that I saw it all over Twitter, and it's like, guys,
listen,
it's revisionist history.
Listen,
I'm just
going to put it this way. Who cares what happened in past years? Yes, I get it. The Bills could have drafted Patrick Mahomes instead of trading out to take Tre'Davious White. It happened. Move on. The Bills could have kept their 2015 pick instead of trading it to get J.P. Lossman, and then they could have taken Aaron Rodgers with that pick. So what? Move on. It's in the past. I mean, for crying out loud, the Bills could have drafted Dan Marino over Jim Kelly if they truly wanted to, and they passed on him, too. It doesn't matter. It's all past history. You move on from it, and you focus on the future.
And as other teams are proving, you can build a competent team around and make it a great team, and that's what I think the Bills are trying to do right now.
Hey, and guess
what? The 49ers were what, 4-12?
You talk about continuity. You talk about continuity. Three teams this upcoming year are going to retain their head coach and both their coordinators moving into the 2020 season. The Bills, the Saints, and the 49ers. That was from Field Yates, I believe, last week he tweeted that. Three teams are going to, I believe I got this right. I think it's those three teams are going to come into next season with the same, I'll put it into more context here. Those three teams, Bills, Saints, 49ers, are the three teams that are going to have their three main coaches back this year and that have been there for the past 2 years as well. So since 2018, the start of the 2018 year, all three of those coaches are back for a third year. And you could have argued that, especially for the 49ers, that Robert Saleh, should have been maybe more of a candidate to be a head coach this year, just with how impactful that defense became with all the weapons that they have and the dominance that they've put up, especially in the playoffs. They completely shut down Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, didn't really let them do anything, made Kirk Cousins very ineffective. And then Aaron Rodgers just, in the Packers offense, they couldn't get anything going against them because all in his face.
The only player that they didn't manage to make ineffective was Russell Wilson when it comes to quarterbacks this year. Seattle looked good playing against San Fran because Russell Wilson is a very great quarterback in this league.
Yeah. Just imagine if Russell Wilson was playing against them, if Seattle had actually beaten Green Bay.
If we got our third match of that game, that probably would have been the doozy instead of the Packers getting skunked because they don't know how to defend the run.
Yeah. Well,
Again,
with the whole past of just like, oh, why did you not take this quarterback? Why did you not take this guy instead of this guy? I like what I've seen from Josh Allen. I'm moving forward with Josh Allen as my starting quarterback this year. Year three is going to be a big year, though, obviously, because we're going to look and see, okay, how much more can Josh Allen carry this football team? And maybe not even carry, just take this football team. How far can he really take this football team next year? Are they going to be better than a wild card team? Can they win the division for the first time in what seems like eons? It'll be, like, I'm focused straight ahead on next year. I know the wild card game against Houston was bad. They were up 16-0. They fell apart. Luckily, they forced overtime, but still, they lost in a fashion that they probably shouldn't have lost at all. Fine. I'm over it. I've moved on. I'm looking ahead now to what the Bills are going to do this offseason and what they're going to do to improve the roster, to add to the roster, to try and make the offense better than it was last year under Brian Daboll, under Josh Allen's quarterback play. What weapons are they going to add for Allen? What more weapons are they going to add? Because I think this past offseason, they did a decent job of adding weapons. What more can you add, though, to the offense? Can the defense sustain its top-notch play from this past year? And then you go from there again. Can they win the division? Can they beat the Patriots and finally get over that hump and end New England's reign? And also, is Tom Brady going to be back? That's just part of it, though. But I'm over this Twitter conversation with the, oh God, they could have taken. I don't care. Let's move on from it. Let's bury this hatchet right now.
Kudos to you. Why? We're going to get two stupid weeks of it.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So I'm ready. You may be ready to wall it off. I'm ready to pick up my axe and fight. Let's go. Come at me. Because I'm ready to take on the stupid takes about it, the lazy takes about it, and the irrational takes about it. Why? Because it's just going to set me off. I'm in a fighty mood today. Let's do it.
And one more thing I'll bring up, like, about this, and I promise I'll kill it and we'll move on to hockey in the next segment.
It's like that part in Wayne's World, just, I'm going to go pick a fight.
listen. Patrick Mahomes could have been drafted by the Bills in 2017, and who knows how he could have turned out. He was a guy that was seen as a guy with a lot of raw talent, but there were some talks of accuracy issues and other...
Did he fall to 10?
Right. Right. Exactly, and he came from a program like Texas Tech. Guess who got some of those similar talks during their draft year? Josh Allen did. Mind you, Josh Allen, I think, was a little more raw than Patrick Mahomes, and I think that Patrick Mahomes had a little bit more of a track record. But still, I don't want to hear any more about the Bills could have drafted Patrick Mahomes. I don't think it was in their plans. I don't think it was in their cards. Yes, they could have, but you move on from it. You got Josh Allen, I think, again, who's been pretty decent. I'm done with it. I'm good with where we're at right now.
And you don't fall to 10 overall without everybody thinking, okay, this guy's going to be Connor McDavid on football field stuff. Like, you don't fall to 10 overall if people know that's what he's going to be. He was not the slam dunk to be the best quarterback in the league at this point. No, that was not in anybody's
wildest
dreams.
There was never any talks of that.
There was never talks about that.
Until he came in last year and started putting up these ridiculous numbers and started actually... but again, he also was a guy that had a full year to sit behind Alex Smith and learn the game.
Full year or not, if you got it, you got it.
Plus, he's got a great coach in Andy Reid, who has always been really good with quarterbacks.
Now, the Chiefs...
Whatever reason.
Good for the Chiefs, knowing that they were going and getting their guy.
Yeah.
But if they knew he was going to be this, they would have traded into the top five.
Yeah.
They would have given up life and soul for that. Instead, they essentially traded Tre'Davious White and Tremaine Edmonds for Patrick Mahomes, and I think it was a pick that was Tyrod Taylor that the Bills ended up having to trade to move up to get Josh Allen, essentially. So it was really Patrick Mahomes for Tremaine Edmonds and Tre'Davious White. I'd say that it softens the blow.
Yeah. Joey tweeted at me. He said, don't be that guy with, you know, the whole, we don't know what kind of quarterback he'd be here. I'm sorry.
I would say that. Guess what? If the Bills drafted him, he would have been great. Why? Because Patrick Mahomes seems like he is great. It doesn't matter where he goes. It doesn't matter because of the fact that the Bills clearly did not want to be taking a quarterback because they did not have the system they wanted in place. They wanted synergy from top to bottom,
right,
from GM to coach to the football field.
Right, and you think Rick Dennison in the first year would have been able to turn Mahomes into maybe what he's been?
No. I'm saying they did not have a general manager in place.
Right, that
too.
Yeah,
they had Doug Whaley finishing the draft, but his foot was out the door. They wanted a shared vision between GM, coach, owner, and they do not have that yet. Why take the quarterback?
Yep.
It wasn't going
to
happen.
They had it in 2018 when they wanted to take the quarterback.
And it's okay as long as Josh Allen is good. He does not have to be Patrick Mahomes. He just has to make sure that Josh Allen turns into a name brand that doesn't lateral it with a minute and 7 seconds
right.
left.
Listen. I've said this already. I'll say it again, and we'll break after this. Josh Allen, I would just want to see in 2020 – play with that play fearless mentality more often. He did it in the week that he was playing in Miami. That week, he was the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. After that, it was spotty what we saw from him. If we see that Josh Allen more often, the one where he's quote-unquote play fearless, I think if we get that, people are going to start singing a different tune about Josh Allen moving forward. But that's just me. I'll end it right there. I'm just moving forward in the future direction of the Bills. I don't want to talk anymore about, oh, well, we could have had this guy. We could have done this. We could have done that. Move on. Let's just move away from this. Sal's already on a different path. He's already looking ahead to the state of the Bills. You can find all of his State of the Bills articles over at WGR550.com. He's got the latest State of the Bills article up right now, which is the state of the tight ends, which was one of the positions last offseason that saw a major overhaul. Dawson Knox comes in, Tyler Kroft comes in, Tommy Sweeney comes in, Leif Smith comes back. And this year, we'll see where it goes, but check out Sal's State of the Bills article at WGR550.com. Sal's also heading down to the Senior Bowl this week. He'll be down there. He'll probably get the chance to talk to some of the prospects that are down there and get a good look at them moving forward. As, of course, the Bills, well, we could be looking ahead to the draft, looking ahead to maybe wide receiver, getting a top-notch wide receiver. That's a possibility. We'll see. But check out Sal's stuff. You can follow him at Sal Sports with all the latest from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. And be sure to also check back at WGR550.com for anything that you may have missed from Sal. We'll step aside, take a timeout because we're late for the break. What else is new? I work with Howard and Jeremy. It is just rubbed off on me. So when we come back, we'll get a little bit into hockey. We'll talk a little bit of hockey with the Sabres. They're on their bye week. State of the Sabres. Where are you at with this team right now? How are you feeling with this team? And are you possibly looking, are you putting the team as a seller, a buyer at the trade deadline? How are you feeling about this team? Let us know. 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550 here on WGR.
Anytime you're going to the third period on the road, especially a tough building like this, 1-1, it's you put yourself in a good spot to win a hockey game. Fortunately, you didn't come on top tonight or compete throughout the whole game.
Sabres defenseman Jake McCabe following Saturday night's loss to the Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena. Sabres had the lead late in the first period in that game. They gave up the game-tying goal about 6 minutes into the second, and then Jack Eichel takes a penalty late in the third after some really good sustained zone time for the Predators inside the Buffalo end. They draw the penalty, and then 7 seconds in, they get the game-winning goal. Linus Allmark was very good in that game. I mean, obviously, he had the highlight reel save rate to dive back in his own crease to stop a shot from Ryan Johansson. However, they just couldn't overcome a couple of bad bounces, which was unfortunate because I thought they played a decent game. However, when you can't score goals, you're going to need to rely on some stellar goaltending, and Sabres couldn't exactly get the goal scoring despite Linus Allmark's very good play. So Sabres fall now to 22-20-7 through 49 games this season, 51 points, and they currently sit in sixth, tied for sixth, I should say, in the Atlantic Division. Tied for fifth, I should say. 51 points, tied with Montreal. Ottawa's in seventh with 42 points, and Detroit is, lonely Detroit's bringing up the rear, 28 points through 49 games. Here's something for you, Derek. By quick calculation, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams in the NHL that has more or as many wins in their regular season as the Red Wings have points in the standings.
Wow, they're bad.
Yes, they're very, very bad.
Oh my God.
The Red Wings are also a minus 85 goal differential.
That's terrifying.
Which is, let's see here, quick math again, 38 goals against worse than New Jersey. New Jersey's a minus 47 goal differential, and Detroit is a minus 85.
And New Jersey's
been bad. Yeah.
New Jersey is trash. The Red Wings are butt cheeks. And just, oh, God, I cannot fathom.
I love your terminology, by the way, with how well you put together with just how bad a team is.
Look, if I have the opportunity to say that something is booty cheeks,
You're going to take it.
Absolutely. I'm just going to run with it.
Why not?
So, yeah, sometimes I get descriptive. That's what happens when you're in radio because you don't get to see what's going on. I just think, oh, my God. Like, I don't remember much of the games on the ice with the tank teams. Is this that bad and they're not even trying to do it?
Where am I at with the Red Wings?
Yeah, like,
the Red Wings seem to me like a team that is in transition, but they're in a really bad situation.
They're
with
the Bengals.
Obviously, Ken Holland with the team. I got to pull up Cap Friendly real quick.
Yeah,
with the
Ken Holland put them in a lot of trouble.
Ken Holland was really the downfall for them, and now he's gone to Edmonton, which beware Edmonton Oilers fans who've had terrible GMs in the past. Not to say that Ken Holland is a terrible GM, but he's
lost it.
He has. He's lost that touch. Let's see here.
He was one of the best GMs of the 90s, and then, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you just aren't good enough anymore. That's just what happens with players on the ice, and it seems like it's happened with Ken Holland in the front office.
Right.
For me, I think the Red Wings are like the Bengals. They're terrible in the standings, and now they're looking at the number one overall pick, and, well, for the Red Wings, the potential of the number one overall pick, and they're just like brushing off their shoulders like, yeah, we meant to do this.
So here's where the Red Wings sit right now. They have 8 players under contract with no trade clauses or no movement clauses. Not all of them were signed by Ken Holland. I believe the Val Filppula contract was signed by Steve Yzerman.
How long are those contracts?
Well, let's see here. Franz Nielsen was part of that 2016 free agent crop that was just yuck. Mm-hmm. One of those, like, oh my God. What, like, why were these players given terrible contracts?
That was stupid season.
Kyle Okposo was one of those guys.
Okposo probably was the best signing of all of them. It's just injuries derailed it.
Yeah, and not, but I mean, also for a guy that plays mainly fourth line minutes, some third line minutes, to get $6 million, that's not great. That's really bad.
Well, at the time of his signing, he
at the time he was playing with John Tavares.
Injuries derailed what he could have been with the Sabres team.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's tough to tell. It really is tough to tell with Kyle Okposo. And it's not a knock on Okposo because I think he's been a very serviceable player. But right now, when you're looking at the cap situation, to pay $6 million for a guy that mainly plays on your fourth line, that's not great. Let's see here. Franz Nielsen has 3 more years on his deal. Well, 2 more after this year. $5.25 million, a modified no-trade clause. Justin Abdelkader has a full no-trade clause for 3 more years after this year. And he's been terrible. He's another fourth-line guy, $4.25 mil. Darren Helm, he's got 1 more year after this year, a full no-trade clause, $3.85 mil. Filppula, again, $3 mil. He's a 35-plus contract, full no-movement clause. Defensively, you've got guys all expiring after this year, which is good for them.
That's
except
good,
for Danny DeKeyser, who's got 2 more years at $5
million. I was wondering how many of them were expiring, because I suddenly, when you said 8 contracts like that, I first thought expansion draft. And I'm like, oh no,
well,
this could actually get worse for
them.
Well,
I mean, they could actually be set up in a fairly decent position for the expansion draft. They might be okay.
When you said that, I was just like, oh no.
I mean, the contracts that they will have still on the books after the for the expansion draft, which will take place in 2021, will be Justin Abdelkader and Franz Nielsen, which isn't bad. And Danny DeKeyser. So 3. 3 of the 8 will still be on the books, but each of those guys will only have 1 or 2 years left. So Detroit, yeah, they're a bad team. They're a bad, bad hockey team. Jimmy Howard is not the same goaltender that he was in the past. I mean, obviously he's older now. He's over 35 years old. They've also got Calvin Pickard, who's been a very just mediocre goalie forever. Jonathan Bernier is a shell of what he was. Their goaltending situation is bad. Their defensive group is old. Like, their best young defenseman is Philip Ronick right now, and he's been decent. Their prospect group is okay. They've got Joseph Valeno, who was very good at the World Juniors this year. Michael Rasmussen was a first-round pick a couple years ago for them. They also have, who else do they have? Mort Sider, who was phenomenal at the World Juniors. He was drafted this past year. Dennis Chalowski is pretty good. Jerick McIsaac is all right. So their prospect pool is decent, not great, but they're going to have a top-4 pick this year for sure, because I don't think they're going to catch any team at this point. I mean, Colorado, what was it, 3-4 years ago, they put up a 49-point season and was arguably the worst team of the decade. I think the Hockey News actually did rank them ahead of the Sabres tank teams. Because I think if I remember that article correctly, the Sabres 2017-18 team ranked as the 8th worst team of the decade.
Yep.
And then the Sabres 2 tank years were 3rd and 2nd.
Yeah, because here's the difference. And this is why Detroit is so painful. They didn't mean to do it.
No, they didn't.
Colorado didn't mean to do it that year, and Detroit is not intending on being this terrible.
Yeah. Well, Colorado also that year, if you remember correctly, they had fired Patrick Waugh like August, or they had parted ways, or however that went. I can't remember for sure. But then they brought in Jared Bednar, who was their AHL coach, I believe, at the time. And it was like, oh my God, this team is terrible. They had a play where a guy went on a breakaway all alone on a guy, on a goalie, and he decided to pass it back to Nathan MacKinnon, and he didn't even get the pass to him.
Wasn't that Blake Como?
Yes, it was Blake Como. He's with Dallas now. But still, it was just one of those seasons where everything went wrong for Colorado that could have possibly went wrong. And I believe, if I'm correct, that year with the draft, I believe they ended up drafting Cale Makar, who is a phenomenal defenseman for them right now. I was watching their game against the Blues this weekend, and man, is he a good hockey player. Is he a good defenseman? He just can skate everywhere. He just does everything. It seems like he doesn't have a flaw in his game right now. He's even solid in his own end, and he's more of an offensive guy. And that's, yeah, the Avalanche were the first pick. They lost all three of the draft lottery picks. They fell to fourth, and they still got Cale Makar. The picks ahead of Makar, Nico Hischier, who's a good player, Nolan Patrick, who has problems staying healthy, and then Miro Heiskanen, who's a really good player as well. Sabres took Casey Mittelstadt, by the way, in 2017. But Casey Mittelstadt has actually looked like he's starting to come around in Rochester. He scored again on Friday. However, the Amerks are struggling very badly.
But that said, I mean, with Colorado's instance, getting Cale Makar at four, that just shows how strong
right.
the top of that class was.
Yeah.
Because Heischer's really good, and he's just on a terrible team.
Yeah.
Heiskanen's the same thing. Like Makar, very good young defenseman. And
luckily for the Avalanche,
I remember how much we all wanted Cale Makar.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people wanted Cale Makar. And you know, obviously for the Avalanche this past year, they got lucky and they got the fourth overall pick from Ottawa because the Senators were terrible last year. They get the fourth overall pick and take Bowen Byram, who's another really stud defenseman that is playing in Vancouver in the Western Hockey League right now. And he's probably going to be in the NHL either next year or the year after that, and he's going to be really good for them as well. And then they also had the 16th overall pick and took Alex Newhook, who's probably a couple more years away, but still a very solid forward for them for the future. So Colorado is going to be a team that is going to be really set up for themselves real nicely moving forward. While Sabres, we're still kind of seeing where everything kind of plays out for them. But obviously, over the course of the next hour and 10 minutes, we're going to be talking about state of the Sabres. Where are you at with the team? How are you feeling with the second half coming up? I know it's not the second half, quote unquote, in terms of that, but really just like after the break, it kind of feels like the home stretch of the season. We'll go with that. How are you feeling about this team heading into the home stretch of the season? Call us, let us know, text, tweet, get in on the conversation, 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today. Derek Kramer producing things on the board here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, have you got your tickets yet for the WGR Celebrity Roast? Well, they're available right now. Tickets, including the Pella VIP tickets for the WGR Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood, are on sale right now at WGR550.com. Of course, former Bills guard Richie Incognito and also former Bills quarterback and former teammate of Eric Wood at Louisville, Brian Brohm, have been confirmed as roasters, and there's still more to come. Hopefully we'll hear more about some of the next roasters coming up here in a little bit. But get your tickets now because they are going fast. So the WGR Celebrity Roast, again, that'll be taking place on Thursday, February 26th at a new location this year, Buffalo Riverworks. So go to WGR550.com, get your tickets there, get more details about the entire event. That's coming up again, February 27th. That's a Thursday this year at Buffalo Riverworks. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers here if you want to get in and join the discussion this morning. We're talking about the Sabres, the state of the Sabres. How are you feeling about this team moving into the second part of the season? Of course, the Sabres are heading into their bye week this week. They got 5 days for the bye, which started, I believe, yesterday. And then they have the 3 days for the NHL All-Star break before they get back to action for practice, I believe, on Monday. And then Tuesday, they're back in game action against the Ottawa Senators at KeyBank Center. A 7 o'clock faceoff with the Paul William Belts pregame show starting at 6 right here on WGR. And if I'm not mistaken as well, I'm just going to double-check this very quickly. I believe that Jason Botterill is scheduled to join Schoep and the Bulldog on Tuesday. Just going to look at their the schedule for when Botterill is expected to meet up with Sabres. Actually, that's not Tuesday. It'll be Thursday. The 30th of January is when Jason Botterill is expected to speak next on WGR with Schoep and the Bulldog at 716 Food and Sport. So keep that in mind. I believe the Sabres on the 30th play the Rangers, I believe. Checking that as well. But see, yes, they play, or 30th. No, they play the Canadiens. So they play the Canadiens on Thursday the 30th. Jason Botterill expected to join Schoep and the Bulldog at 716. It'll be interesting to hear what Jason Botterill will have to say at that point. Obviously, he had plenty to say the last visit where he wants to make trades, and of course the team wants to make deals to improve the roster. But trade deadline is coming up. We've got about little over a month away. I believe it's the 24th of February this year. It's always on a Monday. I don't remember the last time it wasn't on a Monday. Maybe for the lockout shortened season it wasn't on a Monday, but even then I could very well be wrong there. But trade deadline's coming up soon. Sabres are going to have a few options to have to make decisions on. The 24th is the deadline. So we'll discuss that a little bit more in the next hour. We'll get into more details about where the Sabres kind of sit league-wide in terms of stats, standings, and everything like that. And we'll get your phone calls and your thoughts as well on the Sabres. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-550-2550. Brayton Wilson here filling in for the Instigators today and tomorrow. Again, reminder, the Instigators are off. One Bills Live is off. So coming up from noon to 3 today and tomorrow, it'll be Joe DiBiase on the airwaves talking with you. Bills football, Sabres hockey, anything is on the table really for the next couple of days from the 10 to 12 and the 12 to 3 slot. So your phone calls, your thoughts, welcome throughout the entire day here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.